No other religion can say that. Father, today is the day we celebrate that what was done for us is more valuable than what we do. That we have a faith that calls us to die and submit ourselves rather than to obtain salvation through works. So, Father, this morning, for those who are believers, may we be encouraged by your word. Thanks for your songs that we've just heard and the way they uplift us. But, Father, as we turn our attention to your word, may it encourage us. And, Father, for those who don't know Christ or are not sure what they believe about this man from Nazareth, Lord, that today they would leave here certain of their faith in him. And we pray these things through Christ. Amen. Well, it is good to be here this morning. I shared in the first service that we're sitting around the table this morning, and I looked at my boys and I just, for fun, I asked them, "So, what do you think I should preach?" And one of them piped up, "You should preach about the Power Rangers." Sometimes Don's that helpful. Yeah, so I just said, okay, well, good choice, but I'm probably not going to preach about that, right? So over the last couple of weeks, I've been asking the Lord, okay, Lord, what would you have us to hear on Easter, on this day when we celebrate the resurrection? And this theme kept coming to my mind and my heart, and I kept thinking, really, is that the way we want to go? But it just wouldn't go away. So this morning, we're going to pursue that. But as kind of a pillar to get us moving in that direction, let's just think about how complicated our world is, right? I loved the TV show Lost. Not everybody loved Lost, and you know, lots of different reasons, but Allison and I, we don't watch a lot of TV, but we were enamored with Lost. Now, some of you don't know what in the world that is. It was a TV show. People were in a plane accident and were stuck on an island, and the island seemed to have like these just interesting things occur on there. But one of the neat dynamics about Lost was regular TV shows was kind of mundane. You kind of knew where it was going. You can kind of predictable. Lost was nothing like that. You never really knew what was going on. And for some people, that really bothered them. There was a lot of interpretation. What did this mean? What was the purpose? So much so that they had blogs and fan pages and all that kind of stuff you could go on there and read. And sometimes when I was in school, this was on when I was still in school, I would find myself, when the teacher was speaking, going to the log into the place, looking and trying to figure out different things. But it was complicated. It wasn't like a basic TV show, right? And it was amazing because for a while, it was the number one show in America. It's complicated. A lot of things in our life are complicated, right? It's tax season. And how many of you, yeah, you can boo. How many of you say, you know what, doing my taxes is the easiest thing I do? It's complicated, right? And especially if you're like me, because for the government, I'm employed and I'm self-employed. So they get all these crazy dynamics and I have all these forms and self-employment taxes. And sometimes they see me as an employee. Sometimes they see me as an individual contractor. And it's just very complicated, right? Taxes aren't easy, but it's not even things that big. Sometimes it's simple things we have in our home, like the television. We have a TV in our house that has four remote controls, right? It's complicated. For some of you, you don't like the new Facebook dynamic, right? It's complicated. You don't like it the way you like the old style. You just knew what everybody was saying. Here you got to kind of see where it is on the timeline, right? Lots of things in life are complicated, but there's one thing that is not complicated, and that's the message of the gospel, the message of Easter. It is a very simplistic message, and I don't mean simplistic in the sense that it's unimportant or it's naive, but what I mean is it is easy to grasp. It's straightforward. It's clear. There's not a lot of these innuendos and things that you have to try to figure out exactly what this means. The gospel message is a basic message. And the basic message is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So if you have a Bible, I'm going to ask you to turn over there. 1 Corinthians 15. Now, I'm not going to preach that long. Man, no amens. Okay, that's good news. You like it when I go long, is what I that's what the implication that tells me there. I'm not going to preach long because I know that music preached to you this morning and ministered. I know you have other things, but I'm going to ask you for these few moments to really just focus in. Okay? A lot of things to be excited about today. Look, we're having people at our house, got to cook things. I'm excited about the Masters. I'm a big Phil Mickelson fan. I mean, lots of things for us to look at today, but for this time, let's focus our hearts and our minds squarely on this material, because it really is the most important thing, not just for today, but in our lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul's famous chapter regarding the resurrection, and if we don't believe in the resurrection, what that means for our lives. But I just want us to look at verses 3 and 4 here to begin with. Paul says these words, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received." So what he's saying is, look, what I'm about to share with you is the most important thing. I've received it because I myself wasn't an initial apostle, right? I was one who on the way to Damascus was pursuing Christians, persecuting them. Christ dramatically impacted my life, and therefore I've changed. And so all this stuff has been taught to me both through Christ and through others. So what I have heard, the most important thing, the basics of Christianity, the basics of the gospel, the basics of Easter, are these things. That Christ died for our sins, in accordance with the Scriptures. That He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day, in accordance with the Scriptures. That's the Easter message. That's the message of the gospel. That is the basics of Christianity. So this morning, let's just walk through each one of those briefly. First, the essence of Easter is this, that Christ died for our sins. So why did Christ die for our sins? If you were listening closely, you would have heard through the music some of the elements there. Some of this might be a little bit of a repeat, right? Why did Christ die? Well, think for a moment. God, as revealed in the Scripture, is infinitely holy, glorious, perfect, without error, never does anything wrong, never thinks of anything wrong, right? His ways are always right. And He created us. This glorious God created us without sin, perfect. But through Adam and Eve's disobedience and their desire to say, you know what, I want to be like God, I want to be my own God, they cast sin into this world and into humankind. And therefore, every one of us here today, if you're human, which hopefully you are a sinner. The world doesn't like to say that, it's not appealing to us, but we've got to look at ourselves in the mirror and realize the truth hurts. We're all sinners. And what the gospel tells us, the Bible tells us, is there's nothing that we as sinners can do to ever make ourselves right with God again. We can't do enough good things. We can't buy it back. Going to church doesn't do it, right? Doing good things to your parents or for the elderly or adoption, none of those things brings about salvation. It doesn't make us right. We're stained. We have an infection. We're dead. Different terms that you might hear. So God's holy, but the problem is we're sinful because of Adam. We have no hope. The good news is God's a God of love. He's not just a God of holiness, but a God of love. In the very beginning in Genesis 3, what happens? When we sin through Adam, God immediately says this, "Look, I'm going to send a Redeemer. I'm going to send one who's going to bring you back into the fold. I'm going to bring one not just out of the sky, but through the very means that you sinned, through the woman, through humanity." So what does God do? All throughout the Scripture, He's revealing, He's promising, He's prophesying, "I'm going to send a Son. He's going to die for sins." Why? Because God is a God of love. The most famous Scripture, it used to be the most famous Scripture, I'll say that, I don't think it is anymore, but John 3:16 says what? "For God so loved the world that what? That He gave His only begotten Son." Right? The whole essence of John 3:16 is there's a problem that out of God's love, He's bringing a solution for. We're sinners, unable to do anything, and out of love, God sends His Son for us. And it says Christ died for our sins. So what happens? So Jesus comes, he's born of a virgin, he lives for 33 years. The 30th year he starts to make known that he is the Son of God. And you would think that people would what? They would rejoice over that. They didn't, did they? They hated him. They hated what he said. They hated what he stood for. They hated that he was robbing his followers, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They were losing people because Jesus taught as one who had authority. He had power. He was an amazing individual, unlike anyone who had ever lived. And so the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they get together and they say, he must die. So what happens? Jesus is crucified. He's taken prisoner. He's betrayed. He's beaten. And eventually he's mocked. Pilate, who's the king at that time, looks at him and says, on the king's throne, makes judgment and says, you're to be crucified. So they take him up and they nail him on the cross for everybody to see. And he's hanging there. And as he's hanging there, the people on the sides of him are what? They're ridiculing him. The people down below him. If you're the Messiah, come down from there. Right there. All these things are going on. Why? Because on that cross, Jesus was dying for us. Notice that's what the text says. Christ died for our sins. As Jesus is hanging there and he's experiencing this ridicule, the most significant thing that is happening on that cross is God, the Holy One, is pouring out on Jesus our punishment. The punishment that Adam and Eve brought forth. For the wages of sin is death. And there it is, most clearly for the world to see. Christ lifted up, God declaring, this is my love for you. I have sent my only begotten Son that His death should make life for you. It's an exchange, a transaction. Jesus' death, Jesus dies, so through His death, I don't have to die anymore. Right? That's what's going on here. So Paul is saying the essence of Christianity is Christ has died for our sins. And you see that other places as well. 1 John chapter 4 says this, this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and did what? Sent His Son to be the propitiation, to be the sacrifice, to be the one who makes atonement for our sins. Romans 5, verse 8, but God displays or demonstrates His love for us this way. While we were yet sinners, what? Christ died for us. Christ's crucifixion wasn't because he was a criminal, wasn't because he had done anything wrong. Christ died because on that cross, God was bringing reconciliation to the world. Essence of Easter, the essence of the Christian message is Christ died for my sin, for your sin. Second, it tells us that he was buried. Isn't it interesting that Paul would say that that's one of the important things to note, that he was buried? Why is that? Why do you think? Now, if you remember the gospel story, for some of you, you may remember this. Jesus, he goes through, and on Friday night, remember the word we said? Tetelestai. What was that? It is finished! It's finished! And after Jesus says that, he gives up the Spirit, and he dies. And they were amazed that he had died in such a quick manner. The gospel tells us they break the legs of the criminals, and to do that was so horrific. I mean, the whole process is horrific, but the way that they would breathe was they would push themselves up with their legs to breathe, and by breaking their legs, they just suffocated. And when they get to Jesus, they see that he's already died, and to ensure that he's dead, they jab him in the side, and the text tells us his blood and water comes out. He was dead. So they take him and they bury him in a rich man's grave, fulfilling the Scriptures. Paul wants us to know that Jesus really died. I think, Don, you alluded to this. He didn't just swoon, pass out. He didn't just enter into a coma because of the shock. He expired. But the Romans, through the Jews, heard that there was a rumor that Jesus was going to... They said that he would be raised. So they put a stone over the temple hall, over the tomb. They put guards there, right? So all these thoughts, well, the disciples went to the wrong body and wrong tomb. Well, all they had to do was do what? Take him to the one with all the soldiers. Oh, they stole his body. Okay, yeah, right? Little women, the ones who went to the tomb, they're able to beat down Roman soldiers. It would be like Jody's Sunday school class being able to take out the Navy SEALs, right? Here's the only, like, ladies' class. Not because of age, just ladies' class. Right? I mean, that's who went to the tomb, right? Women. No, Paul wants us to know he was dead and he was buried. But the good news is this, that wasn't the end of our Savior. Verse 4, he was buried and that he was raised on the third day. Thank you. Remember the story? What happens? Early that morning, the women, they run to the tomb. And one of the Gospels says they even wonder how they're even going to get into the tomb because the stone is there, right? But they're going to anoint the body of Jesus. And when they get there, the stone has been rolled away and they go in and there's nothing there. And it says that an angel appears to them and says, you know, why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here. Why? For he is risen. And so the women do what? They run back and they tell the apostles who are in the upper room, in this room. And it's amazing because even though Jesus had told the apostles, I'm going to die and on the third day I'm going to raise, what do the apostles do? They didn't believe. They doubted. But ultimately, Peter and John, they race to the tomb. John beats Peter according to John's account, right? They see the empty tomb. They marvel. And then they come back and later on it says Jesus comes into their presence and he reveals himself. And he says, look, it's me. What do you say? You said, peace be still, right? I mean, peace be silent or something like that. Yeah, that's what he says to him. Look, I'm here. Touch me. Feel, see, it is me. It's not a ghost. I have been raised from the grave. And that's what Paul tells us here in this text. On the third day, he was raised according to the Scriptures, and he appeared to Cephas, who's Peter, and then to the 12, and then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, but some now have fallen asleep. What's he getting at? Look, what I'm telling you about his resurrection is not just some made-up thing that you really can't go back and prove. You can go ask these men. You can go ask these women. They're still alive. They've seen it. They've given testimony to it. And people will say, well, yeah, but they're just taking a big lie. If you know how the disciples died, these men went from cowards in an upper room to what? The ones who stand before leaders and say, I don't care what you do to me. You can beat me, but I believe in Jesus. And every one of them except John was beaten and killed. What causes that change? I think they saw the risen Christ. It's true. The evidence is there, right? I shared in an earlier service. Allison is a lot more creative than I am. I don't have any creative bones in me. I didn't do music. I'm not in the art. I just nothing. I'm nothing like that. But I can hit a golf ball. All right. So, it's, you know, Easter's a significant time. It's like Christmas when you have little kids. You want to watch their faces when they wake up, right? So we have stairs in our house. So Allison puts out these baskets on our table. She puts little marshmallows on the floor and up the stairs and to their room. So when the boys open up their doors, they'll come out and follow the marshmallow trail down the stairs. And so one by one, they wake up. Ben comes down. He's all excited. Luke comes down. He's all excited. I got to go up and wake Ty up. He comes down. He's all excited, right? My whole time, this just shows you the dad, I'm just worried they're going to smash the marshmallows in the carpet, right? Some of them are picking them up as they're walking down, you know, that kind of thing. We get down there and Luke's like, they're all looking through their basket and Luke goes, well, let me say this. Ben we really ascribe to this idea that we all have love languages and we manifest them that way, and that's how we like to receive love. There's books out there like that. Ben's love language is touch. So he loves to be touched. He loves to hug, that kind of stuff. But like everything, there's good and bad. The bad side of it is when he's angry, he strikes, he hits, he pushes, that kind of stuff. That's why we've got him playing football, right? We're hoping to direct it that way. Luke, he likes words of affirmation. So he always speaks kind things. But when he's mad, he'll say bad things, hurtful things. But this morning, he opens up his Easter basket and he goes, "This is awesome! This is the best Easter ever!" And being the pastor dad that I am, after I ate one of their Easter, or Reese's Easter eggs, the test, I said, "No, Luke, the best Easter was 2,000 years ago. When they went to the tomb and they saw that Jesus had been raised." Isn't that true? I mean, today is a great day because we celebrate it, but could you imagine being there, going to the tomb, and seeing that he's been raised? So why was he raised? He says he was raised according to the Scripture. He was raised so that he really was the Son of God. All the while, they were Satan, all throughout the Scriptures, is Jesus, if you're the Son of God, prove it, prove it, prove it. When he's on the cross, if you're the Son of God, come down, show it, show it, show it. All the while, God is saying, that's not how I'm going to display he's my Son. The way I'm going to display he's my Son is I'm going to do something in his life that I've never done in anybody else's life, and that is I'm going to raise him from the dead. It vindicated him. It said, "You indeed are my Son. I'm well pleased in what you did. You have sufficiently paid the debt for sin." But also his resurrection brings victory for us, right? There's no longer any fear of death for those of us who are in Christ. We don't fear when we die. Yes, I mean, the death process might be scary and it's hurtful and you're going to leave behind loved ones and all those sorts of things. And I recognize that. But if you're a believer, you should not fear what happens once you've taken your last breath. You're the Lord's. He owns you. He says you'll be with Him. So to be absent from the body is to be what? Present with Him. And the reason that's so is because He's been raised. We too are raised. And even now, because He's been raised, because the tomb is empty, He sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us, praying for us, guiding us, interceding to the Father. The gospel message is a simple message. Christ died. Christ was buried. And Christ has been raised. So the situation this morning, though, is this. What do you do with that message? Right? The world divides us in lots of different ways. White, black, male, female, you know, smart, not as smart. I mean, they make all kinds of distinctions, northern, southern. But there's only one distinction that matters, really. It's believer or unbeliever. That's the only one that matters, ultimately. And so what the Scripture says is the gospel, the Easter story, is a simple story. God loved you so much that He sent His Son to die for you, and He raised Him up to prove to you that it was indeed God's Son. And He says your responsibility then is to repent, to believe, to trust in Christ. Just one passage and we'll be done. Look over at John chapter 3. I want you to listen to what it says. I want you to see it. If you don't have a Bible, there's a Bible in front of you in the pew. Look on with somebody next to you. I just want you to hear these words as we close. Verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him," what? should not perish. If you have faith in Christ, you no longer have to fear death. There's no longer any condemnation. What Jesus experienced on the cross, you will never have to experience. That being God's just judgment for sin. If you believe in Christ, you won't perish, but have life eternal. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Verse 18, whoever believes in Him, in Jesus, listen, whoever believes in Jesus is not condemned. No longer are you accountable for your sins because Christ has paid the debt. You are free. You are declared not guilty. You are justified. But whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Look, there is no other way to have forgiveness. There is no other way to come before the Father. There is no other way when you die to live forever except by faith in Christ. Faith that shows itself in repentance, and faith that shows itself in then living a life that says, I'm living for the Lord. There's lots of people in this world that say, oh, I believe in God, but they're not believers. Not believers. Because faith is predicated on Christ's death and resurrection. And if you believe that Christ died and He was raised, then you're going to live differently. You can't continue to say, oh, I believe in God, and live like the world. And you can't just say, oh, yeah, I prayed a prayer one time when I was a kid, so I'm saved. No. Today, is it active in your life today? Are you trusting in Christ today? That's so vital. Do you believe in Him today? It's not a decision that you did one time, but it's a life that's been changed by the gospel. Look, Easter is a glorious day because on that day we remember that Christ has died, Christ was buried, and that Christ indeed has been raised. And because of that, we who believe can have eternal life and dwell with God forever. Well, Father, we pray this moment that those who are here who know Jesus, who trusted in Him, Lord, that we would be encouraged, we would be reminded that our sins are as far away from You in Your mind as the East is from the West. You have totally dealt with them once for all in Christ. And Lord, we are declared not guilty, never to experience what Jesus experienced on the cross. But Father, for those who don't believe, already Your wrath is upon them. And so Lord, I pray that even now that they would turn to You in faith. As we're here this morning, I just want you to take a moment and examine your heart and to see if you really truly believe in Christ, in His death, and in His resurrection.